This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL Milan.
This Walsh.
The smile's back.
I love you, dude.
The arrows are red and the smile remains. It's a big difference from last season already.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know what to say.
The pod returns. Game week two upon us. I'm okay. Yeah. You know? Lot to talk about. Arguably too much to talk about for one pod, but we'll do our best.
Too much tuna, too big to fail.
Too much, too nuts, too everything. You know, how'd you do? Big game week swinger today with the West End demolition of Leicester.
I think my favorite thing about this game week is it's not very, very often that I finish up a game week with actual 0 points on my bench.
Oh.
I did it this week.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I like that.
Oh, you
I
shot
like
the that. Moon. Yeah, that's like really it. Good. Yeah.
So I'm trending upwards from that standpoint alone, but... You know, we both were on Bruno Cap, so that was, you know, LOL at us. 62 for me, pretty meh, pretty medium. I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
It's a tough one, because, you know, all of the template guys are donging and tonging, and I don't have too many of them, as usual. So it's one of those where I'm just trying to make up points, you know, with like my bad picks and it's not working. So I don't know. It's whatever. I'm 1 million like on the nose rank right now, which, you know, isn't, I was better at this point last year, but it's okay, I guess.
It's totally fine. Like it really is. It's way too early. It doesn't feel fine because of the other reasons you said. I think it's fine as a rank, but yeah, the greater worry, and I share a lot of the same things, is just, you know, I got 61. We got the same points, basically. I captained Bruno as well. I went down about the same amount. I'm 1.2 million. It's, you know, all of the guys that everyone in, you know, Discord or everyone on Twitter, everyone on YouTube seems to own, or all the guys that we don't own, you know, the Bruno cap, I don't regret at all. You know, I think we accurately, you know, assessed Mo's chances and Burnley's being tough and physical and whatever. And United were just dog shit, and that just happens sometimes. But,
well, it was also, I mean, Mo had the, you know, if they had thicker lines, the goal offsides. And Bruno also had, you know, that Lindelof sitter that he missed, like, immediately on that set piece. And then he had that header that was pretty good. I mean, on another day, you know, points were had. But I think the more thing about it was, you know, what you talked about was, like, the discrepancy among owners in the captaincy was, you know, very large between Mo and Bruno.
Yeah.
But, you know, we kind of were looking at it more of, it's more coin flippy than not, and going with the, you know, lower owned guy in that moment, you know,
the lower cap guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Does feel like something that we should probably try and hold each other to account to throughout the season, because as is borne out, you know, every game is completely like random luck, whatever the fuck. Yeah. And if it's that close in our minds and it's like a 70-30 split in the polls community, everywhere and shit, yeah. then you probably, you know, will have more to gain than lose there, I think.
I think so. Yeah, by I think and large. So too. But yeah, yeah, I mean, similar week to you, got my points from similar places. I mean, I have Ben Rama, you have Antonio, neither of us have both. But it's like, you know, I just look at
Ings is the biggest tilter.
I was
going to
say Bamford and Tony combined for 6 while Ings gets 8 and Antonio gets 16. They're the two highest forwards in the game. And like, I'm just playing catch up. And, you know, Mane, my season has gone so far hand in hand with Mane because I put so much of my budget in that spot. So everyone's basically on triple Liverpool. Through 2 game weeks, Mane's on 11. Jota's on 16, saving $4.5 million. Tsimikas is on 17, saving $8 million.
Yeah.
So far, it's a disaster. You know, in the coming weeks, you know, they have Chelsea this week, obviously, but then it's Leeds, Palace, Brentford. You know, maybe I reap rewards from Mane. You know, he could pop off in any of those games. But so far, it's just held me back more than it's helped me. And then on the other side of things, all of the template mids, all of the high-on mids, Jack, Mount, Paul, Rafinha, Jota, Greenwood, like all top 10 ownership are all just returning.
Yeah.
That's how it's gone so far. So just sort by ownership and that'll
make your wild card team.
Yeah.
Now, folks.
That's it. Yeah. That's how most people made their game week one teams, I feel like. And that's how everyone's making their transfers. And it's like,
but Ings is, it's just more to the point of Ings just watching them play badly
and him
having like really bad stats and them creating pretty much nothing. And
yes,
he gets a pen and stoppage in game week one and then scores a fucking bike on his only shot in the whole game.
And the pen has to occur with El Ghazi off the pitch, or El Ghazi takes it. He's not even a pen taker on the team.
It's rough when, you know, we,
so annoying.
You know, to me in our process and, you know, watching the games like evaluatively is that, okay, not a good pick, but the points come in, you know? Right. So those are the things that that's why we pot and we, you know, we hold each other's hands and, you know, they have another good fixture this week. So I'm sure he'll get points this week again and then everyone will get rid and then he'll blank for 5 straight when no one has
him. Exactly. Yeah. And they're, they're worst non-penalty XG in the league so far, which is
meanwhile, Wolves have no goals in 2 games and have like fucking 70 shots and the most shit fucking life. And Jim is just sitting here with 3 points for me.
Yeah.
Like an absolute Munson.
Yeah. You know, another tilter, if we're just on the topic of tilters, is just like Shaw getting 2 bones.
The bones
in general in that game.
I mean, what the actual fuck was that?
Greenwood gets maximum
17
on 21.
17.
Shaw gets 2 bones on 17, and Salisu gets a bone on 14.
It's repulsive. It's just repulsive.
It's like, it made me remember that bonus on an individual game is just even more tilting than the bonus system as a whole, because it's like, if the Che goal wasn't a random deflection own goal, then it would have shifted everything. Like, it's just like stupid shit that affects everything. That's by far the lowest BPS of any game all season so far. And it's like the most owned player in the fucking game gets it. It's just like, give me a break, dude.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah,
that was not great.
The only other thing
for was really frustrating.
That's so stupid. But the only other thing I'll add about my week is I did end up doing Veltman to Dyer, so I'm +4 so far on that move.
Yeah, great move so far.
So far so good. He has Watford, Palace, and then
Veltman's already out.
Yeah, and Veltman's already out.
Fucking has COVID.
Well, yeah, that's basically why I did it. Yeah. We DM'd about it a little bit, but like, I don't know. It's Veltman. I don't know the situation. COVID affects everyone differently.
Yeah.
He's not like Bissouma. You know, he's not,
he's
like,
not like an incredible player.
That's how people talk about him, I feel like. It's like, oh, dunk. Straight back in. Yeah, dunk. Like,
he should play. I mean, he should play. He's better than other players that they're playing right now.
Yes.
But it's certain, like you're saying, it's not Bissouma. So,
if he's not training for a month, it's like,
He might not be ready for another month. I mean, Potter's saying actually nothing to us about, you know, he's doing this or he's doing that. We have no fucking idea. He could be in, you know, Amsterdam, like
in a fucking incubator,
K hole or something. I don't know.
Christiania right now.
Fucking Veltman, dude. I can't believe that, like, doing something like Veltman instead of Webster when, you know, I felt so good about it before game week one, that he just gets COVID and we hear about it like the day after the deadline.
And people are like,
topples so many cards.
Yeah, people are like, I went with the safer guy, Webster. It's like, Veltman didn't get dropped.
Yeah, neither were safer. Veltman's just better. he just got COVID. And he's, I mean, Webster's showing it, like, yellow card, just like nowhere near bonus points, just like not, you know, I mean, he's 4-5, he's fine.
Oh,
right?
But fuck and no. Anyway, it's we'll get whatever. To our teams and shit later. I have problems.
I actually don't have any problems, but continue.
Well, you have Bachman-Wilf.
Bachman's great, Wilf's fine. I'm holding Wilf.
You have, how many defenders do you have?
Two.
Okay.
Two transfers, two defenders. It'll work out. I only need three.
Okay. Hey. All right, let's see the league update. Shout out to the 3F Millfield Prize League/Mug League leaders for August so far. Top of the August mug table, 1 week to go. None other than Discord and Ireland's own Chucky Arnautovic, Tio, Christy, the Trentitodes. 6-point gap on second place. He's currently 465th in the world.
He should win FPL this year.
He's in position to win FPL.
He's so dumb that he's going to fuck it up.
Well, he's going to bring in, like, who's his weakness?
Irish player. Doc.
Ricardo Pereira.
He's hitting Doc. Price drops once, he's going to hit him.
If Doc starts in the Carabao Cup,
yeah,
Tio's done.
Forget it.
Second place is Ben Muckman.
Apostrophe Buffemi. It's going to be scenes. Second place. Try and transfer Cal Robin. It's not going to work.
Ben Muckman, a.k.a. Seagull, Trawler, Sardine, in third place between... It's a tie right now. Between James Hurd, a.k.a. FC Resch, and MB, a.k.a. MBFC. Leader of the FMLBL Public League, still Jimbo Murphy, holding down another huge haul, 39th OR. It's all downhill for all of you fucks.
Yeah. Except for Tio, he's going up.
Except for Tio's.
He could actual win.
I know, isn't that crazy?
I think he should.
He should win.
Yeah, I think so. I think he could.
Can we just take over his team? And just say it's hive mind or something.
No, that, you have to let him. The process has to be played out. All
right, let's go on.
All right.
All right. As usual, beginning of the season, tons and tons of questions.
All right.
Tons of shit to talk about. Is there anywhere specific you'd like to begin?
No.
Maybe let's just talk about a couple West Ham things since that game was today.
It's fresh.
Right. So Captain Mario said, is it time to get Benrahma in? Very worrying. I'm worried about the Europa rotation. Is that overthinking it? At his price and how involved he's looking to start feel like a no-brainer. And then Matt W, if the answer isn't both Benrahma versus Rafinha, and then we have to touch on Antonio, main fucking man, highest point scorer in the game right now. So where are you at on Benrahma? Because I started with him... You liked him.
Yeah, I liked him before game week one kicked off. I was we were chatting about him in that preseason podcast.
Yeah.
I think he's a very good pick. You know, I mean, they're playing very attacking right now. You know, as long as they're playing four at the back, the system looks good, and they obviously came awakened when they were down to 10 men against Leicester today, and they even when it was 11-on-11, they were well in control of the game, despite like their 25% possession. Leicester's such a fucking diabolical team. It was hilarious. But, he has a goal and assist in both games. And he was playing on the left today instead of playing centrally. Yeah. Like him and Fornals switched spots. Fornals was playing on the left. Benrahma was playing more centrally against Newcastle. I don't know why. I'm sure Moyes saw something in the personnel they're playing against and asked them to switch to different jobs. They were not interchanging at all. Benrahma was just playing on the left, and then he obviously had license to, join in on counters and get centrally when that was occurring. But as long as they're playing this formation, Benrahma should continually get in good positions and score points. So, at his price, he's, great.
Yeah, I think so too. Simple.
But I think it still comes down to, who are you getting rid of and what are you looking at? Where are the issues on your team? Because, people get, obviously went up again, he's 6'2". People get carried away with the price rises. He's cheap as fuck. So it's really easy to get him. You can get him for any player in your team pretty much. So, you could also just, give it another week or two, whatever, and you'll be able to afford him. But home palace at Southampton, a couple good ones.
Really good fixtures. Yeah. We don't know about Europe. And that's one of the big question marks over Antonio and Benrahma and their defenders and everyone else who owns them. So, we'll see. It's just a wait and see how Moyes handles it, how much he rotates, how much he doesn't rotate, and we'll just
take
it from there.
Their squad's really small.
Yeah, I feel like attacking-wise, they have decent depth. They don't really have...
They don't. I mean, other than Yarmo, I mean, Lanzini seems like he's not ready, but they, I mean, they don't have that many, unless they're, I don't know what their registered squad is for the Europe thing. Like, I don't know if they've got, you know, a lot of their kids in
youngsters and stuff. Yeah, I'm not sure.
They don't have a second striker. Like,
it's true. Yeah. They actually, we do. Yeah. Going into the season, I was always thinking of them as a three at the back team. So yeah. It felt like they had more depth than they did because it was mm-hmm. like one of Fornals, Bowen,
yeah.
or Ben were just always on yep. the bench and they right. could like play multiple positions. Right. Yeah.
Right. And I mean, we still have a week in the window, so we don't know yeah. what they're going to look like, you know, come September 1. But yeah, I'm definitely concerned about that. But Antonio,
fucking
I think,
hell.
Is in a different category than Benrahma because, I mean, just better.
I cannot believe I didn't start with Antonio.
Yeah. He could have had a quint return today. I mean, he's as much as he donks his life away when watching him, you know, in his little actions where he like, can't yeah. make a forward weighted pass and it just goes fucking to the happens. Defender out of bounds.
He fucking yeah. donks a pass out of bounds, you know.
It happens to right backs and that's what he is. So, but he's just nuts, you know. I mean, he's not in the same category of Benrahma where it's, you know, he's going to get returns here and there. I feel like Benrahma is more of a trickler and Antonio, when he's fit, the way that they look and how he's, yeah. how active he is just, you know, it's surprising when they score and he's not involved.
We said it on the preseason pods. When fit, he's like 7-5 for him is a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Like he's up there with XG and shots and everything with like the best forwards in the league.
Yeah. Like
when he's
Mo
fit. Yeah. But when he, you know, he won't be fit soon, but for now he's incredible and I don't even know why I didn't start with him. I just, you know, logicked my way
yeah.
out of him. My way out of him. But one thing I was going to say about him, and it's funny you mentioned Wolves earlier because I was thinking about someone like Adama.
Oh god.
Just from a, you know, potential perspective or something like that, where Antonio's been routinely under his XG every season.
Makes sense because he's right back.
Makes sense. But he's so insanely good at getting chances and shots yeah. and good chances that he just racks it up. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
And it's like Bamford last year, under, doesn't matter. So many yep. chances, yep. good team, good attack. Yep. And it's like someone like Adama, you know, people ask about him, whatever. If he keeps getting the chances that he's currently getting, which, you know, he's not going to have 5 shots a game and a massive yeah. chance every single game.
Yeah, he'll finish with, like, 5 goals and 3 assists.
No, he'll get points. But
he's
like,
got to finish with something around that, right?
He'll finish with more if he's doing this. I don't think he will do this for the rest of the season, but I'm just using it as an example of, you know, people go too nuts over elite finisher or whatever, and it's like, this stuff is just... Antonio is so reliable when he's fit. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
This is the bread and butter.
I mean, do I expect West Ham to just score 4 every game? Obviously not. It's, you know, they're going to come down to earth and yeah. they're not going to be playing a 10 men, you know, heads dropped, you know, I'm no. already at center back team again, but I mean, we're going to beat them this weekend. So that's going to be rough when everyone's, you know, piling on. And I'm sure plenty are going to be captaining Antonio, and that's going
to
be
listen
so,
to the palate. Listen to the Eagles soar right now.
It's going
to
be so
nothing
good.
Like a 0-0 Brentford to get the fucking yeah. juices flowing for a, dude, huge upset.
We're going to do all the things this weekend.
I fear for Palace.
No, we're going to be good. We'll be good. We're good this weekend.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think Antonio is, you know, if you don't own him, that's probably, like, number one urgency thing of life.
Yeah, just Benrahma, rectify it. Just fucking rectify yeah. it. He has Palace and Southampton. Either of those are another 16-pointer.
Yeah. Benrahma, it's like, meh, yeah, great pick. If you have a spot that you're not happy with, you want to put him in, go for it.
Yeah, what I was going to say about Benrahma is, like, he's clearly the best player in the game in that price bracket.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're
better than Raf, probably.
Yeah, he's better than all
more
of them,
central
right
gets
now.
Better. Yeah.
But, you know, so if you're in and around that area, it's obviously him, but you don't yeah. have to be by any means. There's plenty of good picks in the game. Yeah. All right. That's West Ham. We got a lot of Man City questions. they're back on the radar after a 5-0.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't want to talk about Man City.
Yeah, let me just read off the questions. Pete said, can we judge any City players now? Is it Gundo out? TJC said, last year City's defense were consistently very good, seem underrated in FPL this year. Do you think Diaz is worth jumping on, given they could clean any fixture? Terp said, City playing Arsenal, Leicester, and Southampton next three is a double up on their attackers, a risk worth taking. Rip Arsenal. Mishka said, genuine question about targeting Arsenal and potentially captaining Jack. On that note, what do we believe we know about Jack so far, keeping in mind Pep's desire to create a team of seagulls? And then Frankenstein said, what should we do with City asses, Mahrez, and Jack? So yeah, lots of action.
A lot of action on City. Front you're the, to back, you're up
the,
and down.
You're the Jack man. What fucking worldy thunder bastard this week.
My God, a penis goal.
Yeah, so good.
I mean, the thing I was more disappointed with Jack was I didn't get bonus points on a goal. I mean, usually he's like
a million. Yeah, that seems impossible.
Yeah, they did have five, and they had the clean, and every defender got returns. But, I mean, Jack is definitely, you know, a fine pick, but he's definitely not, to me, watching him and them, like, oh, my God, like, run to get him, because he's peripheral. You know, I mean, he's obviously one of the best players in the entire division. But he's, you know, he's obviously allowed to join in on those, you know, those attacks if it's going down the right wing, you know, or an overlap or something. He floats in on the left. But, you know, by and large, he's not, he had a lot of touches in the box, but it's like kind of like when the defense is set. So it's not, you know, necessarily like when the touches are leading to goal chance, like creation, action things. So, I mean, I'm happy I have him. It's he's starting 2-2 is great. You know, and he definitely, you know, $100 million man looks like, you know, Pepinho's gonna be running him out there, especially while Kevin's out.
Yeah.
But do I expect to see him, you know, 2 goals, assist games? No. You know, I don't expect him to get that kind of output. He's not shooting that much.
I'm kinda there with you.
But I still feel like he's a very comfortable hold, and as he literally ran into points this weekend, that's kind of what I expected when I got him, that he would just be in and around the box, involved, you know, whether or not it's the assist or the secondary assist, you know, that he would be close to the goals when they score them. And, you know, he probably will do that. Last year, you know, 6-12 in 2,000 minutes, I feel like he's going to be on a similar pace and trajectory just based on the team. So, you know, I feel comfortable having Jack. I have no rush to get rid, you know, and I wouldn't be in a rush to get to buy him either.
Yeah, I think you're very accurate there in your assessment. I mean, I don't have much to add. He had 19 touches in the box, which is like one of the highest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, his one shot was an accident, and I don't know, he maybe had one key pass. I don't even know. But he's obviously still great. You know, it's a hard one with City because they don't really have anyone who's like the central main obvious guy to get, you know, and like people are saying Gundo out or Mahrez or whatever, but
I think there is an obvious guy to get. I think Ferran is pretty obvious at this moment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so that's what I was going to say is like, I think at this point, did you listen to Coach Holm?
No.
He had Mooney on first talk about City, and like, Mooney. Yeah, it was good. And
yeah, he's good.
He was saying that he doesn't think Kane's going to happen. He also doesn't like Kane, which was funny to listen to. Well, it seems too late.
It doesn't feel like it's going to happen.
It sort of seems like one of Ferran or Raz are the most likely guys to play majority of minutes at
Raz
number 9.
Raz has like never played 9.
He did.
Has he ever played Raz 9?
Yes. Yeah, he has. And he played, he definitely has. And he subbed on for Ferran and played there and scored. Tappen. Like a classic 9 City goal. One of the other things he said is, you know, Jesus had all of the chances in the world last season to play 9, and like it clearly didn't happen.
He's not good enough.
He was unreal at wing.
He was unreal at the right wing, yeah.
So just let him do but other shit, but not
also
9.
Also against Norwich at home. Like, let's relax.
For sure. But yeah, I think that one of those two might emerge. Maybe it'll be Ferran.
Around 7 million.
I know, but he's also not.
He scored a goal that with thicker lines, you know.
No, it wasn't a thick line thing. It was a foul. But
whatever.
They didn't on match
thick
of the day. They
on the foul.
Didn't,
same
they
shit.
Didn't show the foul replay. It was so infuriating. I was like, I want to see the shit, and they just didn't show. Yeah. So So
that, I feel like Ferran at seven, I mean, he started the first two at striker.
Yeah.
They don't have any strikers, and he's playing Jesus fucking right wing.
Yeah, no,
I don't know. I mean, I think that, to me, looking at this team, if I'm targeting anyone, it's him.
Yeah, if I was going to guess, I'd say first choice left to right is Jack Ferran Morris.
Yeah.
That's just my guess. You know, that'll start the most of the games. You know, but Raz will get minutes. Jesus will get minutes. Who knows what happens when Kev is back.
Yeah.
But for now, yeah, I mean, it might be worth a punt. And they do have those fixtures, and they could score five in any game, as we know. So
it's just a weird one with Pep, because he is, Fran's so young. And he, you know, he doesn't normally do that kind of I mean, he was with Jesus a little bit, I guess, but... Yeah, I've honestly, whenever I've watched Ferran playing centrally for them, I'm never watching him like, oh shit, he's like amazing.
But no, that's,
I just like have a difficult time too when I watch City and those positions, like what they're supposed to be doing, because it seems so complicated to me and complex about where everyone is and where they're going that I'm like too dumb to assess it appropriately. Yeah. But I mean, if Raz is gonna get some run at nine,
I think he will. That's my personal guess.
Yeah. See, I don't, because he didn't, I mean, last year he didn't play at all. He didn't play striker at all.
Last year he just didn't play
I mean, they didn't have like all these other great strikers. It's the same situation. It's the same exact situation as it is today. You know, need him play fucking was benching him.
Yeah. I just, Ferran doesn't like do it for me really there. And, you know, maybe he's doing all of, like you said, like maybe he's doing all of this other shit that we don't really see in highlights, or like off camera, off ball shit that we don't know, that is exactly what Pep wants.
He's so fucking perverted.
He's the most perverted of all the perverts.
He'll assess players that we have no idea about.
Yeah, and he's Spanish.
But wait, how are you like wanting to kill me to not bend over for Ferran in our Spanish Euros team? And now that he's a $7 million asset on Man City playing fucking out of position striker, you're like, I don't really think he's, I don't want him.
Because I thought he was nailed for Spain, and, you know, he's not.
I don't
he's
know
not.
About this one, Tit.
That's, I that's like mostly what little... it is. I just don't think he's good there, and I don't think he's going to stick there. But I think it's a reasonable punt, you know? It's a complete punt, though. He subs off on 60, and like, I don't know. Does he start Arsenal Leicester?
Should.
Yeah. I don't know. No, yeah, out of all of them, maybe worth it. But what would you do?
I'm feeling it. You know, I'm feeling for him.
What would you do with Morris?
I'm telling you. I would fuck him off yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
So annoying. The fact that, I mean,
the thing that was watching the fucking moaning about him not on the team sheet was
in Discord.
So disgusting, because I said something before the game started, like, this is going to be rough when he subs on and scores. And he subs on and scores. Up fucking 4-0, he subs his fucking bitch ass on him 15 minutes to go. Are you kidding me with that shit? That was nuts. That it's was just, actually insane.
That's why we need Doyle in the squad to get
6-9,
more
6-9, baby. I mean,
minutes.
What? Where's like Edozie?
Where's Edozie?
And,
right
I
there.
Mean, where are the children? Like, think of the children. It's 4-0, and
so
he's putting
annoying.
Fucking Mahrez on. It's ridiculous. So
that's another one, right? That I didn't mention in a rant of like why our teams aren't doing well. It's like
bad picks
so
are getting points.
So many people have Mahrez.
Yeah, he's
so
a bad
popular.
Fucking pick.
He plays fucking 15 minutes. Gets
he's played one game in two
one
game
on
weeks.
One sitter. Also, just Norwich, by the way.
Yeah.
What a fucking joke.
Yeah, they're rough. They're pretty bad.
Mooney was saying, and they said the same thing on Match of the Day, like, they basically conceded the same goal five times. They just didn't change. Like, they just
there were
went.
Five crawl on goals.
It was either Walker through ball or Walker over the top to Gabby J, cut back, tap. And it was like the City goal, if you were to define one goal, and it was that.
I know, Jerry, but, I got to page Jerry talking about Grant Hanley being good. Like,
let's talk
why,
about
yikes.
Farka, though. That's what I want, Jerry. Like, where's the adjustment? Where's anything there?
What? Yeah.
But,
so,
yeah. What about
City?
What about their defense also? That was TJC's question. Because, yeah, I mean, they are just going to get points, you know?
I mean, Diaz is in a quarter of the entire team, so I don't know where you're getting these statistics that they're being slept on. I mean, their defensive percentage ownership is like in the 40s, I think. So they're very, very well represented.
That's true.
Yeah, he's just 6 million. So, you know, we're all trying to get all those sexy attackers in. So, you know, game week one teams don't usually, you know, plop in the center back for Man City that's 6 million. And I mean, he got like one fucking return last year in 5 million minutes. And then, you know, he pops and assists with bonus points in game week two. Yeah.
4-0. Nice. He chips a through ball for Mahrez. Well,
okay. I mean, to me, though, the most interesting thing is Stony Boy Goddames went down point. He's 5-4 now.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's, you know, he was the one that was donging his life away last year with the Brace game. We never forget that 20 point. That was amazing. But 5-4, I mean, Laporte has been playing well, though, I think. But
yeah.
I don't know if Laporte has like new Spanish energy, but we saw Laporte make a lot of mistakes
last year. He was really off.
Maybe he's back to his old powers, because, you know, it wasn't that long ago that he was, you know, their best, the 18-19 season, he was their best player, like, period.
Yeah.
So maybe he's gonna give Stones a run for his money, but I still, like
eventually
you
we'll get one or two. Like, I feel like that will happen when wild cards and whatnot.
Team value's higher.
And you're setting up your team more long term. You're not looking for hauls, you're just looking for fucking give me 6 points every week from Diaz or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you can sell nails down left back or something like that, and that opens up as a thing, but
Kinsella just misses every single chance he has. It's insane.
And astonishing. City players miss every chance that he creates.
It's really something else.
Yeah. I mean,
great picks. I mean, Kinsella great. Diaz great.
Great team.
No one else great.
Classic 2-3-5 formation against Norwich. Just ridiculous.
Yeah. It's all they needed.
It's all they need. Yeah. Yeah. City are good. Spurs. Side said Nuno Spurs and FPL, is it a hot mess? Safe / unsafe bus. Private Sun counterattacking genius. Dele's hair and pens, is it dire in? Hemdog said 10 mil. Bit of a stretch for Sonny Boy given he plays for a Nuno side, or was it down to a possible knock before the game? And Pat Dowling asked about Spurs defense.
Yeah. What do you you're our newest proud
the dire owner.
Dire owner, so what do you got there?
Well, in terms of dire individually and why I felt okay going for him, even though, you know, Romero's lurking and whatnot, is like, first of all, Romero's not fit. That came from, you know, pressers and all that stuff, and he's been making mistakes, so that's good for Dyer. But then also just stylistically, he seems extremely similar to Davinson and not Dyer to me. Just ultra aggressive, like ball winning, all the challenges, everything. You would never play two of those guys together at center back. It would just be a nightmare. So to me, Dyer seems like the more safe of the three. And Romero, if he comes in soon, which he probably will be for Davinson, in my opinion.
Dyer and Davinson are very similar.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so? I feel like Dyer does dumb shit and pulls up into midfield like all the time.
Maybe the dumb shit part, but
Davinson's just faster.
Yeah, but he does I think he does more of the challenging on all the long balls and like going in for tackles, and Dyer more sweeps up. That's how I see it in my head at least.
Okay. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't like looked it up or anything, but that's how I see them in my head. But either way, we know Nuno is good at setting up a defense. You know, he's proven that. And they have better players than Wolves for most of the 11. Hugo is a fucking times a million keeper to what Rui was giving them. They weren't incredible against Wolves, but they did limit any big chances except for the Adama 1v1. You know, they just let up a lot of shots, but none real good ones. I think they'll be good. I mean, again, it's the fixtures, right? I'm starting this spot every week, and it's a 4-5, and there's not that many 4-5s that I love. So I'm getting a Nuno 4-5 with Watford, well, with, you know, Wolves when I bought them, Watford and Palace on the horizon. Feels good to me.
Yeah. I mean, dude, Laurie's 21 points.
Monster.
What the fuck?
Max Bones.
Home City at Wolves, like two teams that all they do is attack.
He got 13 bones all of last season. He has 6 already.
Yeah, wow. I think that I agree. I think that what you're talking about, we know how Nuno knows how to set up a defensive shape and a bus and shit. Like, yes, we knew that. But what we did not know is, would he do that at Spurs? And the answer today was resoundingly yes on Saturday watching this game.
Yeah, huge.
And, you know, I think that's something that's very important for us to take away from as FPL managers and just projecting out how their games are going to go. Like, it was a fucking meme in our Discord in the gambling channel about Wolves when they had Nuno of, like, you know, 0-0 halftime, whatever, and then 1-0 full time or whatever that bet was, right? That we, yeah, yeah. Everyone was always talking about.
Oh, that was always the bet.
Yeah.
Draw at halftime, Wolves full time. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, they score their goal and they just don't even remotely kind of consider to attack. You know, they had a couple of half chances on counters when they were, you know, throwing two forward.
Yeah.
But like you said, when Kane came on, yeah, there was a little bit more creation. But like you said, other than the Adama chance, you know, Wolves didn't have really much. I mean, they had a lot of the ball. They, you know, a lot of the ball in threatening areas, but they didn't create anything because there were 9 Spurs players in the box and in and around the box the whole fucking game.
Yeah.
So, you know, the defense, yeah, I see it similarly as you. I feel like, you know, Nuno's going to continue to look at these games and, you know, how to grind out 3 points in each and every. Yeah. And he has better players in this squad than he did at Wolves. So, you know, Dyer's interesting. I think, you know, Tanganga is really interesting to me, probably more so than the center backs if they don't get a right back, you know, by next week. So I think the main thing for me with Spurs that I would prefer to be able to do is if you're not going to stump 5 for Rejulian since he's their only left back is, you know, wait a week until the deadline's passed so we know who they have in their team.
We know their squad.
Yeah. And if possible as well, you know, maybe 2 or so weeks to wait to see who the center back is. But if they don't get a right back in, I mean, Tanganga seems way better to me than the center back, right?
Well, just because of security.
There's no competition. Yeah, yeah, there's no competition.
Well, there's Doc, dude.
Doc, baby.
No, yeah. No, I mean, for security of starts, I guess. But it's not like he's like some fullback who's going to get points going forward. He's like not that at all.
I mean, he could. It's not like Dyer's some center back who's going to fucking score a goal. He hasn't done that in like 4 years.
He got a pretty decent chance. Yeah,
and what did he do with it?
He got it on target. He scores, you know, he scores some goals. Come on. When he, you know.
All right. But what about the Sun portion of this?
2-3 in the past. Sun, yeah, I mean, I think that's a really good point by Hamdog because, again, it's like it's the Nuno team that we, the style of play that we didn't really know going in. So when they're countering and when they're looking for that go-ahead goal, Sun looks great. They look like they have, you know, good counterattack. They have good spacing. They have a good shape. They have good players. But Jesus Christ, when they were up 1, it was like, I want none of their attackers ever.
And we didn't see Kane. I mean, Dele, absolutely not an option. Like, just nowhere near an option to me. Based on, you know, Rafinha, Benrahma, you know, other players in around that bracket. Yeah. But
they'll have to be losing for us to be like, oh, Dele. Yeah.
No, exactly. And which, you know, I'm sure they will be. But then even still, it's like he just doesn't consistently get into good positions because they don't attack.
Yeah, they just didn't attack.
As long as they're playing Skip and Hojbjerg's, yeah, they're neutered. I don't know. And Brian's still coming in. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
feels kind of messy, honestly.
Messy?
For fantasy. Oh, for it feels fantasy. Like a messy situation at Spurs. Like not like good picks, but like not good picks. I don't really
know. Yeah, I don't know what to make of especially don't know what to make of when Kane comes in.
Yeah.
Because then it's like, okay, there's still gonna be a ridiculous bust when they have the lead, but when they get the lead, most likely Kane's gonna be involved. And then when they're countering,
most likely
Kane is way better than like Lucas and Bergvine, and although I thought Bergvine was actually really good, but Kane's going to be involved and play the killer pass or get or score the goal on the counter. So it's like, I don't know what to make of it. You know,
Rex
I still think of
good.
Jota Jim, like I still think of that, and I'm like, they're going to just be lethal.
Yeah, Reg seems like a good, long term hold as long as he's healthy.
He should be 5, and I think he'll easily earn that.
Yeah.
With just like a tight defense and a couple assists.
Yeah, he's just a very little, like, lightweight kind of guy to me. It's still hard for me to imagine him, you know, being able to play 3,000 minutes. But while he's fit, he seems like also just a very steady pick that you could start every week and, you know what you're going to know what you're gonna get.
And in terms of Hugo, I mean, on 21, like, he might just be, you know, he might just score 180 this year. This might be the 1 year. I mean, Nuno, like, Wolves were always a good defense, but they were not a shot suppression defense.
No, they let that goal in because Rui would, or someone would do something dumb.
And but they concede a lot of shots in, like, that Burnley kind of way, where they just have a lot of guys in the way and block them and let them take them for bad areas. That's gold for a keeper.
He has 10 saves.
Yeah, that's
in 2 weeks.
Rack up saves and bonus while still keeping cleans. You know, Hugo could be
5-5.
Maybe he's like the wild card keeper or some shit.
It's just still tough to spend 5-5 on keeper, but holy fuck, dude. You get 21 points out of your keeper in 2 weeks, you are laughing. I couldn't even imagine what that would feel like. I don't know what that is.
21 points, I hope to get out of like 10 weeks.
And it's
like,
such a
two-pointers.
Yeah, it's such a mad thing too, because they don't even have a 5-5 defender. Like, he's the expensive thing on the fucking
team.
That's
why I said Pope Burnley. Yeah. Like, he's Pope.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's nuts.
It's wild. Yeah.
So we're kind of lukewarm on Sun, huh? I mean, I think Sun's fine, but meh.
I still think
10?
That's
the
thing. It's like there's just so many premiums. Maybe that's a good
too
place
much
to
competition.
Move. There's too much competition at 10. To be like up, to be like, oh, my team, you know, Spurs are up 1-0 on a fucking Dyer header in the 8th minute. Well, there goes any chance of my guy scoring.
Yeah, you know? Just dreamland sneak out in, like, Dyer's gonna score.
Dreamland right now. Skip worldy. Now you're
in
dreamland.
The thing. You're like, oh, Spurs, like, okay, home Everton, like, okay, like, good fixture, fine. Like, you know, if they score a goal in the first half, you know, you just fucking throw Son in the bin. You know, he might have a half chance on a counter for the rest of the game, but if they're gonna do what they're gonna do against Wolves, which is what we can maybe there's actually thinking about it now that we're spending extra long time on this. I mean, Wolves pressurizing and their style of play is kind of unique. I mean, maybe they also were just so fucking intensely high pressing and putting like 8 in their half that they couldn't get out, and that was the best you could do against them.
Yeah, no, that's
maybe
true.
Against other teams,
they,
you know, they might have
Palace
a little bit more.
Next too. What, like, what are they're not going to do that. Neither
Watford
of those
are
going
to
want
to
do
what Nuno wants to do.
Yeah, exactly. So
well,
I don't know.
We'll fucking destroy them. But.
Up the fucking Eagles. Eagles gif. Eagles.gif. Yeah, I don't know. That's why it's exciting when it's Game Week 2. Like, we're projecting on all of this shit from no data, and it's kind of fun to just guess. But, yeah, I mean, I'm never going to say that he's a bad pick, because all he needs is a half chance to score.
Yeah, he's so good.
He could just brace on 2-0 chances. But, you know, it doesn't seem great when the other premiums are, like, looking that good. And the other teams that they're on are looking that good to go there. So I'm kind of with him, dog, there.
Okay.
Let's talk about Chelsea. Hafey said, what's the impact of Lukaku on players like Havertz, Timo, pretty cheap mount? Can I get a hell yeah? Asking about Reece James. Is he a knee-jerk or a good pick? Yo Bill's also asking, do you have your eyes on any Chelsea defenders? Do you envision any of them being worth the rotation risk? And then Ozzy and Cardi saying, we need some Lukaku chat. Is he worth tearing up your team right now to fit in? Are we okay to leave it until the better fixtures around Game Week 7? They were great.
Yeah, they were great. I think one thing that I was looking around is, we'll come on to Matip, I think, a little bit later.
Joel.
But Bodker at 5 million?
Yeah.
Probably the best pick to me.
You think he's safe, though?
I think he's safe enough that I would be happy enough to gamble on, because, you know, if Zuma's heading out, Tilv is, you know, 80 years old, he can't get fit. Even if he is fit, you know, I don't think Bodker's the one who replaces. Maybe it's Rudiger. I don't know. I mean, Bodker's
range.
I think
he replaces Bodker.
I don't know, dude. He's been so good.
To me, the Rudiger has left side, Aspil's right side, and then the middle is like the passer, and that's why Bakker excels so much there, and that's what Thiago Silva also adds.
But I just think he's just better.
He might be just better. I mean, Thiago's like 35, 36, like hasn't been fit.
Yeah, I mean, he's 5 million, dude.
I know. I remember.
And I don't think that he can't play the left. I mean, I don't think he can't. You know, I think, you know, he's also better than Rudiger just defensively.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I like Rudiger. I think Rudiger
I like Rudiger
good.
Too, but I think Christensen's just, he's been Tuchel's been picking him a fairly decent amount since he came in. And he's really versatile. I mean, he's got a lot of like really good attributes. He's got pretty much everything you want from a center back.
Yeah, he didn't start the Champions League final, but at the second half of the season, he played a fucking ton of games.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Christensen's
I got
a really
him in, I think, on my second wild card, right? Didn't I do that?
Yeah, I think Christensen's a really good pick at $5 million. I would go nowhere near the fullback situation.
I don't know what the fuck to make out of whatever has happened to Ben Chilwell. Yeah.
Aspil also, the fact that they price him at $6 million is fucking a joke.
Yeah, I mean, Rudiger to me is safer and worth the 0.5 more than Bodker.
Yeah, I don't see it the same way.
That's how I feel. I wonder what Chelsea fans think.
Yeah, we need someone more plugged in, I think, than us to comment on this like nuance of, you know,
but
center back situation.
But I also want to know what's going on with Benjamin Chilwell.
Yeah, I don't know.
Confounds the mind.
Because you
maybe
would have expected after he
COVID or something,
but he just played that like closed door friendly game, you know, after game week one, and you know I thought he was just getting his match fitness from England because he had no preseason. But yeah, I was very surprised to not see him start against Arsenal. And I mean Alonso's very limiting.
Like, he played 0 minutes. I don't think was even on the bench once for England.
Yeah, so maybe he's got something going on. I don't know. Maybe he's got
something
going on.
Something going on.
Some business. Some risky business.
Yeah, I don't know. Tuchel doesn't like him. Alonso's just
fucking
hauling.
Yeah, he keeps hauling. James, not an option. I think with Cho, I expect him to play there sometimes. Yeah. And there's just a lot of messy rotation situation happening, I think, there. But
yeah, but one of those two, Rudiger, Bod, good. Attack-wise, what are you thinking?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe both.
Yeah, maybe. It's not that dissimilar to City, where it's like, we're going to get one of these guys eventually. Yeah. Because we know it's basically them two, Liverpool, are just like so much better than everyone else defensively.
Yeah.
That it's just going to be, it's just like free real estate to just get one and just bank the points.
Yeah. Joel.
On your watch list?
Another $5 million underpriced asset. Like, it's ridiculous. He's unplayable.
So I fucking love him
so good.
He's so good.
It's ridiculous.
No, he's like our little secret. No one knows about him.
So, attackers, I still think it's just Rom or no one.
I think Mount is fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's like not great. Doesn't excite me.
Why would you get him?
Because he just is going to tick assists, I think. He's just going to tick.
You would get him over like Benrahma, $1.5 million less, or Raf, $1 million less. I mean, that's in the game I'm looking at.
No.
Even like Greenwood or Jota. I mean.
Well, it's like, see, that's different because, you know, once United guys are all fit and once Jota starts getting rotated, then I probably would. You know, but that might be 3 weeks from now. That might never happen. Yeah. But that. Compared to those, I'm like, but no. Compared to Rafinha or Benrahma right now, like, no way.
And I mean, that's the thing. At this point, you don't need more than two names to rule someone out.
Yeah,
because
basically,
you know, we don't have three players in this bracket in any team structure. So, and then same with Kai. I thought Kai was fucking
sensational.
Yeah, he was really, really good. IRL, not FPL. And then you know, Timo on the bench, whatever. I mean, Lukaku's just, he's in a haul ass. Like, it's he's obviously going to get like a 200-point season as long as he stays fit, plays 3,000 minutes in this team. They're just too good. Like, the quality's too good, and he's too good.
Tuchel also is just so good.
Yeah. So, the you know, 11-5.
Implementation and execution of everything is just, like, so high level.
Yeah. I mean, at Liverpool, obviously a bad fixture. Then home, Villa, at Spurs, home City. We should all be, you know, trying to figure out how he's going to get in our teams because, you know,
I'm
we're going to want to captain him.
My plan right now is Mane will turn into him for game week seven.
That's
when Liverpool
plays
City.
And you're
going to
captain him, like, every game for
And I'm probably
going to
captain him for, like, game week 7 through
8,
11.
9, 10, 11. Yeah, I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing
you
to
feel
do.
Comfy? Because he's, like, going to triple rise this week. Like, everyone in the world is bringing him in right now. You feel okay not having him? Because I also feel okay not having him, but
I don't
know where you're at.
I don't care about him at all, like having him right now going going up against Van Dijk and Matip, the best center back in the world. He's you know, he's obviously a shout to return any given game week, but you don't double swap, you don't hit to get players going to Anfield, period.
Yeah.
And you know, they have City coming up as well in the near term, and the captaincies, you know, you could captain him against Villa, you know, in a couple at home. That's reasonable. But, you know, Liverpool also have Leeds in that game week, and Bruno's playing Newcastle at home. So you could dodge it easily. You can easily swerve this thing here. And, you know, we all have other problems to put out rather, you know, other than, you know, taking hits or doing double swaps for things to get him in. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, I've seen a lot of teams with Mahrez where it's like, oh yeah, you know, Mahrez and Ings to fucking Rahm and, you know, someone else is good.
Yeah.
And Rama, like, okay, that's cool. Good.
Yeah, how is that not good?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, no, a lot of people, I think, save their transfer and right now are doing, like, some sort of, like, Tony and Mahrez or some shit to Rahm and someone. Or,
yeah, which is fine, you know, is fine. Totally. If your defense is fine and your team's fine, then, you know,
And I agree with you, and I agree with the people who are transferring him in. You're like, I struggle to see a world where I don't want him long term.
No, there is not. That world is he's hurt. He gets hurt.
Yeah. So let's talk about.
We watched the Arsenal game.
It was ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
That was a big double pivot thing about him. Also, was like, you know, the goal scoring has always been there and honestly didn't really increase that much at Inter, you know, aside from pens. But what did increase was like the hold up, the passing, the creative stuff, like all of that shit went skyrocketed off the page. Yeah. And it's just like you saw all of that
in
his first game.
And the thing too, it's, you know, thinking more of like a macro football level of like why that's so important for FPL is that makes attacks like that sustains the attacking actions. Yes. Like it's not just like, oh, he sucks. He's so good at finishing and he's so good at moving, but he sucks at hold up, but he's still good at FPL. It's okay, fine. But you know, when you have a player that's able to do that, like we watched Lukaku, you know, attacks that should die. Like if that was Tammy, don't die because it's Lukaku. And then they, you know, bomb forward and this and that, and they have
recycle
more chances
and get another shot. And
it's just he's a complete striker. He's everything Lewandowski would hope to be.
And he's going to be a monster on bones for all those reasons too.
Yeah.
And he's going to tick with assists too, which like is underrated. You know, he's going to get like 12 assists this year. Probably
who's
going to
score only Kai,
Timo, Mount,
who?
Timo, Pens. People are going to be fucking. What's Tarkowski going to do when Lukaku comes to town? He's going to put him in a sleeper hold.
He's going to be lost. He's not going to know where he is.
Goodmanson's going to fucking nosedive into his kneecap. And it's like, Dyche is like, get in.
Goodmanson. All right.
Let's talk about premiums since we're basically there. Al Rogers said, could the pair of you list Salah, Mane, Bruno, Big Rom in order of preference? Your thoughts on whether you think running a very cheap defense in order to get three of these four is viable? Fun shot. How do we fit Bruno, Mo, Lukaku, Son, Trent, Silva, a reasonable team?
Yeah, that's a fucking hilarious question.
Link to this. Is Trent a likely sacrificial lamb for Rom keep the midfield premiums purring?
I mean, Bruno, Mo, Lukaku, Trent, not hard to afford at all.
Yeah, it's not.
And that's what,
and that's, you know, what that's you build what your we whole team
will,
around.
Yeah, that's what we will have, you know, in a few weeks. You know, some people have that now. Yeah. It's just not hard. Yeah. And, you know, people are going to start wildcarding soon. You know, international break. Who knows what's going to happen there? That's it.
Yeah.
Easy
Sun
answer.
Is not part of that.
No, not at all.
And Mane is also not part of that.
No,
Mane will get sacrificed.
Yeah.
So that's an easy one.
Yeah.
Other forwards. So I'm just going to say a bunch of names right now because they all ask questions about the same guys. Can I get a hell yeah? Ozzy, DeWitt, Patty, Sides, Cardi, Ritzy, all asking about Dings, DCL, Antonio, Callum, Tony, and Mukiezi asked about Armstrong. Is Armstrong the real deal? So in terms of, we talked about Antonio already, but DCL on pens.
Great pick.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Really, really
retract,
good pick.
Retract.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh.
You know, pens is a different level of things.
I think
for
one
him.
Thing that's good about us is we're able to be like, no, we got that wrong, and he's a fucking great pick. And just like, long term, fantastic pick.
Yeah.
Just hold
it. I mean, however, in our defense, you know, backtracking, if he's not on pens, I mean, he's just getting headers. Like, he's not, they're not, you know, I don't know what they're doing. You know, he has, you know, a goal. and two, and maybe not. You know, it's, they still look like a fucking mess. Ever, I have no idea what they're doing.
I feel like they're doing an okay job. I don't really agree with you there. I don't.
But they're just like losing games, and like, I mean, they guess they're not losing games.
No,
but
they won and drew.
They won and drew, but they just seem like their balance is gone. Like the players are like doing things that they're not supposed to be doing, and they're not keeping any cleans. They're just not doing
things. One of the things that Rafa said after the game was like, he's happy with the draw. You know, Bielsa's been there 3 years. I've been here 6 weeks. You know, like, I think, you know, it's an ongoing process to try and evolve the team into what the final product will be. But for now, I think they're doing fine. You know, they're creating chances for the guy that they want to be creating chances for, and they're getting points on the board.
Gray's
been really good. I don't know how or what, but he's been fucking amazing.
He's just better now. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think I have a big blind spot with Everton this year because I was just like looking at their team and based on what they were doing for, you know, 80% of last year, I'm just like, fuck this mess.
Well, it's hard to be like, you know, basically a 4-4-2, like a Wobi and Decore and Gray is going to, like, that's going to be great. But, like, I think so far he's done a great job.
They also need to make sure they don't get any injuries because they have no depth whatsoever. If they get two, you know, I mean we saw what happened when they Allen.
$1 million in the transfer window.
Yeah, they just get, like, Townsend on a free. I mean, if they lose Allen or Decore or, you know, any of those engine in the midfield, they're fucked.
Also, they need to drop Keane immediately, if not sooner. Yeah. So that's
they need Godfrey back, man.
Yeah, Godfrey.
But yeah, DCL, great pick on Benz for sure.
Great pick on Benz. Antonio, we talked about. Dings, we talked about. I don't fucking need to talk about Dings.
Yeah, it's a bad pick.
What are you thinking about Tony? You think he's bad just pick. A terrible pick.
I think he's just a bad pick.
He had a bunch of shots and chances against Palace.
They were all headers off like corners. He had one snapshot from outside the box that was an actual really nice effort, but it was, you know, I mean, Guaita was there and it was wide. They're bad. I think this is a bad team. And, you know, for them to come up to Selhurst and for us to have played as like bad, for us to have had so many, like 2 out of 10 individual performers and still boss the game was something else. Honestly, I don't think I've seen a game like that in my life. It was very, very
perplexing. You were going nuts on Discord about how much you're bossing the game
and how bad like 4 players were, like like Ward, Mitchell, Kouyaté, 0 out of 10s, actual 0 out of 10 games, and we were bossing the game to fuck. It was nuts, and Brentford just couldn't function. They did not function at all.
Yeah,
and they
from a team perspective, you know, they have 4 points on the board and 2, they're doing fine. But like, from the sort of team that you— are they the team you want, like, an attacker on?
No. They're the sort of team you want, like, no one on, I think.
Yeah, potentially no one.
Bumo's also look close. Bumo getting subbed every game is not great, for one thing. But he did have, like, he was on some set pieces, and he had their best shot that went wide that should maybe have been a goal if he was a little bit more classy. But they just, I mean, Tony at 6'5", you know, I'm just, again, looking around. You cannot make an argument to me that he's a better pick than Armstrong, who's cheaper than him. You know,
I cannot make that argument. And there's many better guys that are not that much more expensive. Yeah, you know, we're not talking about premiums. We're talking about Antonio, eights. Eights. So, like, I mean, he's in my team, but he's very soon not going to be in my team.
Yeah, I think he's just going to get squeezed out.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm even like, it doesn't feel good to have him even this week. And then, you know, it just gets worse. He just says Brighton, Wolves, Liverpool, West Ham, Chelsea, Leicester.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are no points there. It's, I'm sure he'll price drop this week. And
Yeah.
I mean, we knew, you know, going into the season, when you have a player like that who's that highly owned, you know, if a couple blanks and it's going to be a complete fire sale.
Yeah. It's open season. Yeah.
And Arsenal, Palace were the two like good fixtures until they got a little bit worse. And yeah, he just seems like a pretty bad pick. And, you know, Armstrong seems like an actual ridiculously underpriced, fantastic pick. And he should have scored this week. And again, he had the best chance of the game by a lot that he just shot directly at De Gea, unfortunately for him.
Yeah.
Newcastle, West Ham, I mean, good fixtures. City, not good. Wolves, good. Chelsea, not good. Then they have another really good run. I mean, they're still doing the same fucking thing with Ralph there, you know? They're still, you know, kind of helter-skelter, 4-2-2-2-2, like pressing everywhere. And him and Adam seem like they have a very good understanding already. They played two, maybe it's just the championship connection. they seem like they have a really good connection, honestly. Yeah. Like their interplay and their movement together. And
I mean, Chase always been good at that shit, right? I mean, we saw it in the Euros too, right? Like just winning headers, being a nuisance, you know, linking up, all that stuff. And Armstrong just slotted right into the Ings role.
He's faster and his movement's just as good.
He gets shots, he gets XG, he's got the movement, he's got the awareness. Yeah. So it's like...
He looks good.
I said it at the time. There's absolutely ridiculous pricing at six.
Yeah, no, he should have just been seven or 6-5.
If the Norwich striker is six, why is this guy six who's on Southampton and scored just more goals than Pukki, you know?
So, like, Tony to him, I think, is a really good transfer.
Would you do it for a hit, though?
No.
Because I'm on Tony, and I'm just, trying to figure out when I'm going to get rid of Tony. Like, when am I going to make that
move? I would do it for a hit if they were the same price and Tony was going to drop, and I couldn't do it, next week. Right. But I think you have infinite weeks to do that move whenever you have the free transfer available. Because Tony's still, fit on pens,
I just don't know when I'm going to have a transfer available, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Right? Early doors, especially, when everyone's jumping on, fucking, you know, Antonio and whatnot. It's hard to be next week I'll do my Tony sort of luxury-ish move, you know?
I think that's fair, but I think you could also, you know, you're not going to kill yourself if you do have him for, you know, Villa, Brighton, Wolves. I mean, Wolves is a great fixture. And then if, you know, worst case, they have the Anfield game week six. It's like, okay, that's when I'm like, all right, I'll take a hit because he's, you know, at best 2 points.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then Callum was the last forward listed. I mean, I think we've seen exactly what we thought we'd see from Callum so far.
Yeah.
Gets good chances on the break. He gets his one or two big chances. Sometimes score. I mean, dude, that fucking VAR on the Emmy pen was that was closer than the Mo one. I thought that was a pen for sure in real time.
Yeah. Playing Southampton. I mean, that's the thing right now. I'm already having flashbacks to last weekend when it's halftime after he scores and Antonio's just they look like dog shit. And I'm like, how come the fucking world did I give Antonio instead of Callum? And then now we're sitting here and he's 20 points more. I'm like, you idiots.
That's why.
No, I mean, Callum, obviously very good hold when he's fit.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing more attacking than any of us would have imagined before the season started. Yeah, really good fixtures, except for, you know, United after this Southampton one. But he seems like a very, very steady hold to me.
Yeah.
If you have
like the pick before the season, nothing's changed. If anything, it's better. All right. That was a lot of fucking shit. I have just the, you know, potpourri of other questions. But is there anything else you want to talk about before we go there?
Well, I think we didn't talk about Livermento at all, which I think is an egregious oversight by us. Yeah. I mean, he seems like the 1B cheat code, right?
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. I would love to hear.
He's their best player.
I just don't know. I didn't think KWP was incredible last season or something, but they paid money, you know, it was part of a big swap deal with Hoiberg for that was chosen guy that Ralph wanted. It's just weird to me to go out, buy Livermento, fuck KWP.
They didn't buy
off.
Him, he's on loan. But I think to me my read on the situation is that he's so much better than him.
It might be just that.
I mean, we watched. Could you imagine if KWP was playing instead of him, what the game would have looked like? He was
making solo 70-yard runs. Yeah.
KWP would have fallen down in his own third. He's a little tiny human, a little tiny baby boy. I mean, Livermento's, granted he's 18, but he's a fucking baller.
Yeah.
I mean, Ralph plays kids if they're good. Yeah. I mean, it seems to me that he's just so much better that he can't justify not playing him. And, you know, KWP subbing on and playing in a different position. It's just, you know, even if they play three at the back, he pushes up forward and wing back. He's fucking 4 million.
It's crazy.
You know, I mean, this team obviously is not looking like they're going to be keeping a lot of clean sheets, but the player's 4 million.
Start every week. with attacking.
He seems like a ridiculously good pick to me.
I think some people will probably be making like a Tsimikas to Livermento move.
Yeah, or a Hoover to Livermento, or a Veltman to Livermento.
Oh my god. Or anyone to Livermento. Yeah, no, just good. 4 million. That was like my biggest mistake of that season was ever just getting rid of Juan.
Yeah.
Just like hold him forever. 4-0 starter, hold forever.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to questions. Keys, I think is how you pronounce it. He said, favorite 4-5 defenders after seeing a couple games from each team. Spurs, Wolves, Leeds, they have good fixtures coming up. Nick, is Spurs the actually good? So, yeah, we talked about Dyer, but other 4-5s?
Other than Brighton, I mean, I think... I mean, Ayling is in a lot of teams. They have not looked good defensively at all. Maybe they'll get a little better if Llorente comes back. But it does feel like Spurs is worth the, you know, either Tanganga or Davinson or Dyer. Like you just, it's worth the gamble at this point. You know, we all have our wild cards in our pocket, but those are the kind of picks that, you know, are the obvious best picks right now. Yeah. And if they hold their place are, you know, going to price rise and continually be good picks.
Yep.
Otherwise, I don't see absolutely anything I want in this bracket.
Yeah.
I think that's why I started with Triple Brighton. Yeah.
I feel like I accurately nailed that. You know, it's like, you know, maybe, you know, we've seen Wolves in two weird fixtures.
Now, Wolves are a mess. They're going to keep like four cleans.
They will be, but, you know, maybe in their.
Offensively, they're a mess.
Maybe in their run of Watford, Brentham, Southampton, Newcastle, maybe they'll, you know, keep some cleans and look better, but like. Yeah.
They're too open. They push too high. I mean, they're
very open.
Because there are a couple of like 50-50 ball losses to like the other teams in clean. You know, I mean.
Yeah. And yeah, so that's why I went Dyer. That's why I backed Triple Brighton out of, from game week one. I think it still holds true. Yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot there. It's a rough price.
Very game. Rough season for 4-5s.
Yeah, it's all the 4 millions.
There's fours and there's premiums and ups, stuff. Yeah. But yeah. We may be on the eve of wild cards given potential game week 4 or 5 absences. Oh yeah, we didn't touch on that, but apparently there's going to be news on Wednesday, so Friday My Life, we'll talk about that shit.
Okay.
He said, Lukaku starting, looking like Lukaku, having 2 game weeks worth of knowledge, knowing this and that many of us have 2 frees. Are there any interesting 1 week punts to consider? So I guess if you're planning on wildcarding, I don't know.
I guess Iheanacho is interesting right now because Barnes got suspended.
And no, Iheanacho got suspended.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, you know, I don't know. Do 1 week punts. I'm not thinking about that shit. What the fuck are we talking
about
here?
Owen said, thoughts on Damari Gray and Decore. So,
oh, my God.
Not, I don't want either for FPL, but
I need so many more games to watch of like, okay.
Yeah.
Before I come around on them because.
Oh, yeah, I agree. They're playing well, though. But, yeah, I'm not buying them.
It's just, I still don't accept that Rafa's going to look at these results and be like, this is the team. This is how I want my team to play.
No.
I just don't believe that's going to happen. So I think there's going to be a reaction to, you know, we're going to be attacking a lot less and creating a lot less and being more stout. So
yeah,
for those reasons, I don't like the players.
The Hardly boys said Bamford and Raf are still strongholds of the cushy run starting game week 5, right? Same logic does not apply to any other Leeds assets though.
Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. They're good.
Yep. Good players, you know, good team. Definitely missing center. I mean, Cooper, they need fucking Llorente, dude. He cannot fucking stay fit. He's such a disaster.
Well, I was going to say with Bamford and Raf, they're definitely like fallen rungs down, you know, with the other like breakout players so far, you know.
Even though they both do have a return in 1 and 2, which is.
Yeah, no, they're both still really good. Yeah. And the run that they're about to go on is incredible.
Yeah. So, Bamford just on pens like Burnley. It's just, you know. Yeah. Raf, he did have, you know, a lot of his shots were outside the box and shit, but he's so good, so he dongs.
Yeah, it felt really weird and bad getting rid of Bamford before Burnley. I did Bamford to Antonio before we potted.
Yeah.
But it's just like, when I look at someone like Antonio with Palace Southampton, I'm like, quad return potential.
Yeah, you could be like 25 points in the hole.
It's actually that much of a difference, so that's why I did that move.
Yeah.
Pete, thoughts on Greenwood versus Pogba? Is it too risky to bring either in?
No, I mean, it doesn't seem too risky. It seems just fine. You know?
Paul is dominating that left wing spot.
Paul's been really good.
Yeah, if he just starts majority of games there, he's going to get a lot of returns.
He almost had a goal against Southampton as well.
Yeah. So I like that. Yeah. Mason, I don't know any Cavani news. And Tony was obviously beyond the worst player on the pitch.
He's something else. What the actual fuck has happened to him?
Well, what
a career he's had.
The conclusion that I've come to is that, like, the actual anomaly was the one good year.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, just look at the rest of his life. It's just, like, pretty bad. I mean, he still does have the Ballon d'Or clause in his contract, so you never know.
You never
know. He's going to, you know, could reach
be enacted.
That.
Could be enacted.
Yeah, at any time. It's like the Manchurian candidate. But I don't know what's going on with Cavani, but for now, Greenwood seems definitely secure to me. Until we see, like, Cavani starting games, and Sancho hasn't been starting yet either, so I don't know. But yeah. Paul seems safer to me. I feel like that left wing spot he's making that his.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just go with your gut call there if you want either or both. You know, you just click the buttons, they're fine.
Really wish McCarthy could have saved a very slow rolling shot that was directly at him from Greenwood this week.
Well, that's asking a lot of McCarthy. Poor Alex.
He's very limited.
So much.
Foster saves that.
Foster does not.
Krul saves that. Foster,
What else do we have?
Coon said, what's your early read on the whipping boys? Norwich and Southampton look bad. Related, is Brentham defense worth getting? Definitely not. Norwich.
West Ham and Newcastle are playing
West Ham
very open
are wide
games.
Open. Newcastle are wide open.
Burnley look really fucking bad. Wolves look very ripe for goals against.
Yeah. Brentham, I know they have two cleans. They're going to get fucking mauled soon.
God. Not against Villa, but
I don't know who it's going to be against.
It's going to be
it might be
5-0.
Against Wolves in game week 5.
Yeah, that could be like a 4-0
because that's the one they go in not expecting it.
Yeah,
they're not.
And they
going.
Could just do a couple of the things over here, things over there.
Yeah,
that just forget it.
They're
bad. No, Brentford are bad. They're going to get straight back down, I think.
But yeah, there's a lot of whips to be had right now.
Yeah.
Johnny D said, I hate Leicester. Somehow find myself owning Harvey Barnes instead of Greenwood. Is he a terrible pick or are Norwich bad enough to justify keeping one more week before getting rid?
I have no read on this. What do you think?
I mean, he's going to get subbed off on 60. You hate to see that, but I think he's a really good player. So I do think Norwich are bad enough and you hold him another week. I mean, they're still going to... Hey, Ozzy out is good. Like they're going to be better without ISD. So it's going to be Barnes, Vardy, and Nacho, or Daka, or something like that. And they're probably going to win like 3-0. Like Norwich are fucking awful.
All right.
Bri, two more questions. Bri said, FPL's a game of compounding success or failure. Now is probably the best time to turn around a faltering season, but how to do so? Hits and differentials are playing extra conservative. Sort of a macro question. The last two, actually, both macro questions.
I don't think that, you know, generalizing in those terms are going to be really helpful. I think it still comes back to just like critically analyzing each individual spot on your team and finding out where the weaknesses are and
I agree.
You know, how your transfers are best used. So
I agree. And admitting where you were wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And another, there's definitely been, we've played for a long time now, but there's definitely been seasons in the past where I do something like not start with the guy that I'm like raving about, like Antonio. All I was saying is how good he is. All preseason didn't start with him. Get fucked. And then I'm just too fucking annoyed to ever get him. And I just don't ever get him. But this week I just transferred him in on a Monday. Because I'm like, okay, I just need to get the guy.
Yep.
I don't know.
So doing things like that.
Yeah.
Probably good.
Yeah.
Unless if two or three of your other players get injured in the League Cup, and then that's probably bad.
That would suck.
Hey.
And I have a wild card in my back pocket.
So we'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a 0% chance that I have to pop it, which we'll see. And then last is another macro question. Slim Charles, he said, what's the best way to deal with tilt and properly adjusting after making mistakes? I had Benny and Antonio for a long time. Then I changed my team hours before game week one deadline. Should I continue playing the way I want or make changes to fit better with the template? I don't want to chase what already happened. Hate to see that.
Yeah, you don't like hearing these stories, but
so
I think, you know, it's taken, you know, we've been playing this game for like 6-7 years or whatever, but, you know, to me, when you're sitting, you know, if you play the game seriously and you think about it, you know, for weeks after the game releases and you're, you know, pl- playing with your team and, you know, this thing and then that thing. When it's deadline day and you make like multiple changes, it's not good. You know, you have to trust, you know, your evaluation over, you know, a longer period of time of like week or multiple weeks where, you know, it's like, oh, this is a midfield I've been settled on for a few days or, you know, and then all of a sudden last day is like, oh, rumor of like fucking idiot is going to be late back from like England duty. So let me make three changes to get this player. You know, you're going to just be upset with yourself. So, you know, I think that's one thing. And then it's also comes back to, you know, something that we've talked about that I think is really helpful is, you know, think about, you know, how are you going to feel if, you know, you don't have this player and they, you know, play well? Like, are you going to be okay? I'm okay with that because my process of not having them was fine. Or are you going to be like, I can't believe I got rid of them, you know, and try and predict in the future, like how you feel about that could maybe lead you to, you know, see how your true feelings on the player.
Yeah.
Because in the end, you know, this is all an absolute piss take. Like this is all getting in position to be lucky, right? Like we have all these players who are great. Like anyone can, you know, West Ham can score 8 goals in 2 games. And if you had Antonio Benrahma to begin the season because you convinced yourself at some moment that that's the best thing to do, then you're a fucking top 1K. You know, if you didn't, then you're 2 million, you know, and that's how the game works. It's just a joke. So, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I agree with all that. In terms of dealing with tilt, I think it's similarly, just try and analyze again, like your team, your style of playing, what you've gotten enjoyment out of the game in the past, and try and like find that. And you know, for me, it's fun and cool to get like stupid bad picks, but and ultimately, it's not good and doesn't make me happy, you know. And like, I'm just getting Antonio because I'm just rectifying a mistake and recognizing that, you know, a player who I do like and I do rate is good and still has good fixtures while he's fit. So I'm just getting him because green arrows are more fun than not green arrows. You know, I probably won't last. You know, I usually don't last in that regard because I just get so sick of the strengthening of the template every season, every week. More YouTubers telling you exactly who to get, whatever, and it's nauseating, and it's a clear fault in the game. Like the style of game lends itself to that, but for now, you know, just get the good guys, put yourself in position to get lucky, target the guys you want next, that always helps me, and just get there, you know,
just get there.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
let's go our teams. What are you looking at? You have two. Well, I already did Antonio.
You're done. Yeah,
I already did Antonio Ann.
You're just using your transfer every week and getting potato, you know, doing the thing.
Classic. What are you looking at?
So I have two frees, obviously nothing in the bank. I have, you know, two known defenders to man, Ayling and Trent. A Veltman riddled. I have Hoover, it's a bad pick. And I have Shimmy Cass, who's, you know, about to be benched for the rest of his life.
Yes.
Zaha, objectively bad pick.
Yeah, what do you think about... I want to know about Zaha, which was Simple Mug's question, and I want to know about Jimenez, which is Mishka's question.
Jim, not going anywhere. I will hold him for 4 months.
Why, like, what are you thinking there, though?
All they do is attack. All they do is create chances, and all he does is be in and around every single thing they do. Like, they could have four goals right now, and he would have all the returns. He's going to get a lot of points this year. I will absolutely not transfer him out unless he gets injured.
Wilf, though.
Wilf. Bad pick.
Bad pick.
We are all sorts, disjointed.
Bad team. Yeah.
New players everywhere. Bad pick.
New players, new manager. Yeah.
Everything, you know, it's a mess, but I fucking love him, man.
Don't do this to yourself.
I love him. He's on pens.
So is fucking
Jorginho. So that's one of my move.
Yeah. So Wilf to Jorginho. Perfect move.
It's hard because I love him so much.
I look at your team and the two things I think are like, well, aside from your dead non-playing players or your objective bad picks like Wilf, what I think of is like, how are you going to angle your team towards your third premium? Like, how are you going to eventually get Rom 3-4 weeks from now?
Yeah.
And well, then number Jack two is like, how many changes would you make on wildcard? Because I feel like it's a lot.
Yeah, I would probably make like 8 or 9 changes on wildcard.
just talking. Just planting seeds.
I don't think I need a wild card, honestly, though.
Just talking.
You know? I do like my forward line. I think Jack is your a fine pick. Line's
good. Jack,
I think Mo and Bruno is fine. Like, I think it wouldn't be wild carding because I have so many messes when I have two frees. I think it would be wild carding because like there are yesterday's points that I could be getting in. And you know, other than Wilf, I think my attack is fine, and Trent and Ayling are both fine. So I mean, I'm really looking at just like that third defender
the
spot.
Non-fine picks are Tsimikas, Veltman, Hoover, Gibbs White, and your keepers.
I still don't think we have enough information yet on Bachman. I mean, yeah. I still feel like, you know,
it's
there's another day there. And yeah, I don't care. I think he's fine. I don't care about him.
Right. So I guess it's just without money, it's just really hard to A, like I said, like angle towards the third premium type of team, and then B, to fix guys that are 4-0 and 4-5 defenders. As we previously established, there's like not a lot of good picks.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of getting Lukaku, and it's either going to be a wild card or, you know, I hope for like an injury or multiple injuries to make it easier, but it's also...
Yeah, wild card for 7.
Yeah, it also feels reasonable. Far away that I have to really think about that right now, because I do want to just like, what am I doing like this week and next week? And
that's why I asked,
Yeah, and not having Lukaku, I don't think is that important. So I'm not like, I need to rip it up to get Lukaku like at Liverpool. You know,
No. I agree.
That's good.
So you're going, I feel like you're cornered into Livermento and Brighton or Livermento and Dyer.
Well, I was thinking about only doing Livermento and floating. I was thinking about doing Veltman to Livermento or doing Hoover to Livermento. And maybe, what do you think about just holding Veltman? Like, because he was someone I was imagining that I could like hold like all season.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought with all my Brighton guys. Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, Hoover I think makes more sense as the transfer, because as soon as Livermento goes up 0.1, you can't even do that move.
Yeah,
and Hoover didn't play, and Livermento seems to be a starter, so that's like auto the better move in my opinion. I don't really know if Veltman's gonna price drop when they're red. With COVID,
I don't know. He might. He might not.
They change the rules every year. I don't know how that works.
I don't care that much about him price dropping. I just need. I think the more important decision is like, do I feel comfortable just holding him, or is he a problem like that I want to address, kind of thing? Like, because I could do, you know, I could change him to a different 4-5 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think him and Hoover are both problems.
Hoover, but, I think, is a bigger problem because I don't know. I really don't know what I was thinking when I just didn't think enough about it, I guess. But,
well, I mean, he started the first game.
I thought
game.
He could play right-sided center back, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he still could. You know, I don't think it was like a crazy bad pick.
Yeah.
And I don't like before game week one, if you said to me Livermento or Hoover, I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, they both have guys in front of them in my mind, you know, KWP and Semedo. And, you know.
So what do you think? So I mean, I definitely am going to be getting Livermento, and that's 100%.
That's 100%.
It's just like, about who I'm going to remove. And I mean, Tsimikas. Well,
that's why I was thinking like maybe both, because you don't want, like, if Veltman drops 0.1, that's a disaster, you know? And
it's not though. Why?
Because what 4-4 are you going to get if you need to replace him in the future? There's none.
But I could do like Tsimikas is 4-1, so I could just like find the point. I could do the 0.1 there or something.
So you're going to later, you're going to double move Sim and Veltman for a 4-5 and another 4-0.
Well,
like,
that's
think
why
about
I
that.
Just start Livermento every week. That doesn't matter. I don't need it.
I think it matters because their defense and keeper situation is one of the worst in the league. And I never really expect them to clean, and the fixture doesn't matter. They're at Newcastle. They're not going to fucking clean this week. No chance. Whereas, well done, like, though. You can get Livermento, who's always on your bench, that's good. And then you get a 4-5 that you're actually starting every week that's not a disaster, like starting a Southampton defender, and that's good. And I feel
don't
like
think
that,
the difference
that puts
between,
out all your fires, in my opinion.
I just don't think the difference between starting Livermento and starting, like, Adam Webster is that big.
I think it's very big.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I genuinely think Southampton are, like, bottom four in terms of, like, their back line and keeper situation and keeping cleans. And they played two midfielders. They played two midfielders. Awful center backs. They sold their best one and the worst keeper situation in the league.
You're talking some sense. I'm not going to refute any of these things, these pieces of information.
So I just don't like that.
So what am I supposed to do? I'm kind of lost again.
I was saying use both frees to put out basically all your fires in one swoop and get Livermento and a starting 4-5 that you start. You actually, like, the guy that you start all the time. Whether that's Webster, who, you know, is Everton, Brentham, Leicester.
And I hold Wolf.
Yeah. And yeah. Fuck. You've cornered me. You activated my trap card. God damn it, dude. There's some problematic picks in your team.
Hold Wolf.
Maybe the
Wolf's going to come good.
Maybe the move is just Wolf down to like a Benrahma or a Raf.
Yeah, well, I was looking at that also and hiding players and getting like regs or
that
something.
That makes more sense, honestly. And you hold Veltman, who we think is still probably going to be the starter and is supposed to be fit for after an international break. That probably makes more sense.
I don't want to get rid of Wolf.
You must.
Oh my God.
He's just such a bad pick.
He's such a bad pick, but I don't want to get rid of him, man. It's hard.
I don't know.
I really
what to say.
Don't. Yeah. I just don't want to get rid of him. I love him. I love watching him play, even though he was fucking horrible this weekend and he was horrible against fucking
You're leaving me with
Chelsea.
No option. Yeah, I mean, he has one shot in two games.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not great. They're a bad team with bad fixtures. It's a problem. But if you're gonna, you know, not care about that and just hold them blindly, then I think you make the double defender move.
Well, what if I go in on Ferran?
You need depth.
Do I?
Yeah.
That's what wild card's for.
Then wild card. And get Ferran.
A wild card, I wild card when I have like 9 players playing.
You basically have 9 players playing.
I know, but I have 2 free, so I can have 11. That's what I'm saying. I could do Ferran and Livermento in.
You're off your fucking rocker, dude. What I want you to try and picture is anyone. Fucking whether it's like Hugo, DeWitt, Jeff, like any fucking anyone DMing you on Discord and sending you a wildcard team or something and being like, I'm starting Livermento every week, I'm starting Ferran every week, no playing bench. And just being like, what? How do you interpret that? You're just like, that is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever heard in my actual
dumb
life.
Dumb shit works all the time. This could be my time.
That doesn't mean dumb shit correlates strongly with good shit.
No, I'm not saying
there's
that. You're
variance.
Saying that. Yeah, and I'm saying dumb shit
and
works
I agree
all the time.
There's variance, but dumb shit more often is dumb.
Yeah, well, so dumb
shit correlates very strongly with dumb results. Dumb shit. I can't believe I had to convince you out of Ferran Livermento double swap.
You haven't convinced
swap.
Me shit. I still might do it.
No, I know. I said have to convince you. Like,
yeah,
I feel it's like my duty here. Like, tomorrow, Joanna DMs you on Discord and says, I'm thinking about getting in Livermento Ferran. I have a non-playing bench. And you're just like, yeah, good moves.
I'm Arsenal. Oh, God.
It's a disaster. You can't do those moves. It's a fucking mistake.
I feel like I have to.
You're going to have to go on walks with your son and your wife and be like, yeah, I did these fucking dumb things. And I'm sad. Now daddy's in a bad mood. Because my Southampton defender hasn't kept it clean in 2 months. And Ferran started 2 out of 6 games.
Oh my God, all right. It's working.
Oh my God, I have tears in my fucking eyes.
No, it's working now.
It's working now. I went to the family. It's all about family. Vin Diesel, you know.
So just get Rafinha.
Great pick. Great player. Great pick. Good team. Good fixtures.
I mean, Benrahma is the obvious pick, right?
Benrahma also great. But if you feel like you want that spot to be longer term, I think Raf is a lot safer.
I don't know what I feel. Just, I feel like I need to think a lot more.
Well, you need
more.
To think about it. Yeah, yeah, you need to think about it. I think that's the move.
But, I mean, what we're distilling it down to is either if I do hold wealth, I should double move and put Livermento on my bench.
I think so, yeah. I think
not save, because I could also just not do Livermento, buy myself an extra week with Shimkass and, you know, see what happens there. And I could just do Veltman for a 4-5 guy.
I think this is more like Friday My Life shit. When
all right, well, okay.
You think about it. And there's but also the Carabao Cup.
I'm not going to be able to wait till Friday because like the price chances changing.
Livermento didn't go up yet, right?
No, but he's close.
I don't know, dude. Let's talk about it tomorrow.
Okay.
On Discord. Right. DM chat.
All right.
And then let's talk about captains, because this is a tough captaincy week. Yobel said really Antonio easy. Cap shot versus Palace, which you shouted earlier. What do you think, Bruno?
Easy, Bruno.
Yeah.
Very, very easy.
Even after that disaster?
Wolves are an actual fucking shit show defense. They don't defend. They just put all of their defenders in the halfway line. I think Bruno's in a fucking carve.
And like
up.
Cody run. Yeah. Yeah,
it's a joke.
I think that especially, I mean, you think Greenwood's going to start, right? Up top?
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I think Greenwood did best, which is like weird because he's supposed to be a number nine, and you don't really associate this, is like vacate the number nine space for Bruno. Yeah. That's what he did against Leeds, and hopefully it's just going to be Bruno running beyond Cody all day, right?
I mean, Martial can't play again. He can't start him.
He should never play
even for
again.
Ole, that would be a derelict of duty.
Yeah. No, he subbed him off early enough. Yeah.
I think it should be just the, you know, McSauce and Fredge and McFredge. Then, you know, Paul. I think Sancho should, he's ready. It should be
he
Paul,
needs
Bruno,
to get
Sancho.
In there,
yeah,
dude.
It's just stupid. And then, you know, you put Greenwood up top and, you know, maybe some interchange action there. But I think that team should fucking disassemble Wolves.
Yeah. Yeah, this might be the week that Wolves just get shredded.
Yeah.
Think Antonio is very reasonable cap though. I think that is a totally fine pick, and I expect him to score multiple goals.
Yeah,
you know, the team.
I hope blank, but that's fine.
Otherwise, you know, there's going to be people punting on City. I guess I don't know who the fuck you would even cap there. So
probably Farron
or Jack. I don't like that.
I don't like anything.
There's not really any other picks. I mean, you could go like
Amford,
Leeds guy. Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty. I think they like fucking annihilated Burnley in one of the games last year. Like
they should
four
annihilate
or five.
Them. It shouldn't be competitive the way that Burnley have been playing so far. It should be, you know, kind of ridiculous. And you know, you expect I expect Leeds are kind of coming into their fitness now. They've gotten a couple games. They had a disjointed preseason. They should just. I mean, they just played fucking game of their lives at Anfield. They played, you know.
Yeah.
They played a half and then they fell apart. So
yeah,
Leeds are going to be able to destroy them.
And this goes back to what we were saying also about Spurs earlier. Is like, you know, Spurs are probably going to take the lead against Watford. The two things I don't know is what does that mean for how Watford play? Like, are they going to push to try and score an equalizer? Because if so, then Son's going to score a hat trick. You know, people will go there, but it's like, I think. Most people will be on Bruno, but I think it'll be way more spread out than the first 2 weeks.
I agree.
So that's always fun.
Yeah.
Let me slap asses. We got more new signups, more new Patreon signups. Thank you. Welcome everyone. We got Ruben Howard, Matt Fitzgerald, Goran, Eliason, Andrew, Connor FPL, Mohamed Alayed, Josh Skittle, A. Tom, Vincent, Johannes Forsberg, Patty Sidwell, Nicholas Janssen. Fuck in there. Whew, heck of a pod, brother. Game week 2 in the books. Looking forward. Any last words?
I'll see you tomorrow, man.
See you tomorrow, brother. Check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlfield. Support us at patreon.com/fmlfield. Subscribe, rate, review. Cheers!